This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have enough to be in the postseason dance. And these wins matter early in the year. Certainly, it'd be great if there's sustainability for one, two, or all three of them. But if there isn't, I feel like there's still guys on this team that have more to give. I mean, as Mize was out of the gate pitching great, Tarek Skubal wasn't bad, but they didn't win his first two starts, which is, you know, you gotta get wins when he's pitching. And yeah, Torkelson, can he keep it up? Well, whether he can or he can't, Riley Green has more to give. Baez and Keith are sort of the yin and the yang there. Keith can give more if Baez starts to give less. So I do think there's sustainability as a team to have success moving forward. But boy, what a story these three are, because we're just hoping to get something. And now not only are we getting way more than just something, we're getting wins because of these guys. They're playing great.
Yeah, they are. And it'd be nice to see even more contributions from other players offensively. McKinstry's been a big part this year so far, the start of the year. That's unexpected. So you like to see that. Dylan Dingler's off to a pretty good start. Like to see that. And now with Jake Rogers out indefinitely, he's going to get plenty of opportunity here. But pitching is going to carry the day for the Tigers. We knew this. The rotation, now that it's together, it's a good rotation. Reese Olson's off to a little bit of a rocky start. But beyond him, the other four starting pitchers have ERAs below four. And Skubal's is the highest at 3.78 of those four pitchers. And he's coming off of pitching shutout baseball recently, too. So maybe he's back on track to being the Skubal we saw last year, which was your Cy Young winner. But Casey Mize and Jackson Jobe, nice starts. And Jackson Jobe coming off a brilliant performance on Saturday with, what, six shutout innings of baseball.
I want to talk about that a little bit more. I just have this to say about Jackson Jobe. If anyone out there is the parent of a teenage boy, Jackson Jobe looks like the kind of guy that could walk through the door with one of my sons and they'd say, "That's my buddy Jackson. He goes to Macomb, Dakota," or somewhere. I don't know. He just looks like an average high school kid. And he's obviously older than that. But he's got the hair that all kids have. And he's got the look and the demeanor.
Oh, I'll tell you what I liked about it on Saturday. Well, besides everything.
I was about to say, what was there not to like?
It looked like an outing where he was pitching. Mm-hmm. He wasn't just trying to strike everybody out. I think he ended up with just two strikeouts in the game. But he was learning how to pitch, commanding the strike zones. One thing, filling the strike zone with strikes is great, but if they're going to start hitting those pitches, you become predictable. He was commanding it and placing the pitches where he wanted to and not walking anybody and striking out only two. That tells you he's making progress. And a short sample size here, three starts on the year, and his ERA is 3.0 with a 1.13 whip. That's good stuff. Keep going, Jackson Jobe.
Yeah.
Stay healthy.
And there's the whole idea of when people say they're young, and this is exactly what it looks like. You can see the talent, and yet you can see him throwing a pitch that's, you know, giving up way too much of the center of the plate, center cut right down the middle. And, you know, it was funny because Dan Dickerson was talking about one of his starts the other day, and he says, boy, he can race out the two strikes. And then a bat can labor on and on and on when he, you know, is it in part because he's trying to strike the guy out or just needs him to hit his pitch in the zone? Like, it's okay to get a ground out to keep it a bat short as opposed to just nibbling and trying to get a strikeout. So there's all kinds of that that's going on with Jackson Jobe. But, man, six innings, I think it was two hits and how many walks?
I don't think there were any walks. There were two strikeouts.
There was one walk. Yep. Six innings, two hits, one walk, two strikeouts. 87 pitches. Man, he looked good. He looked really, really good. Okay, so I said I can't believe we didn't develop this, and I'm disappointed in us. Gator and I are big fans of the TV show Yellowstone. I think a lot of people out there are. In fact, I would describe it in some ways as we do here. It's kind of your show. You brought it to our attention, and I mean people here at the station kind of fell in love with the show Yellowstone, which it's a great show.
Yeah.
So I was reading a story on ESPN.com about the watchability of every Tiger team, or every MLB team, I should say. Right. And of the Tigers, Dave Schoenfeld wrote, Colt Keith, Spencer Torkelson, and Dylan Dingler, all character names in Taylor Sheridan's next TV project.
Yeah.
Taylor Sheridan is the guy that created Yellowstone. Colt Keith, Spencer Torkelson, and Dylan Dingler sound like they should be working the ranch at Yellowstone.
Dylan, Colt, and Spencer, without a doubt.
I'm disappointed in us that we didn't develop this thought earlier. As fans of the TV show Yellowstone, are we late to the party? Did everybody hear this and think this? These guys are straight out of the script of Yellowstone. Colt, Spencer, Dylan.
Well, they literally have Casey.
Right? There is a Casey in the
Tyler.
Show.
Tyler.
I mean, come on. Is there any Yellowstone marketing that can be done with this Tiger team that we can tie it all in? Because he's so right. I think there's something worth developing here. The marketing, maybe. My marketing mind is now.
Oh, and your marketing mind is a strong marketing mind.
It's spinning. It's thinking that the hard drive is spinning right now, and you've trying to think of something.
You've given away many a million-dollar idea.
You think?
Many.
I've given away many an idea.
That too.
I don't know if I've given away $1 million idea, but I've given Several. Away many an idea. I don't know. I feel like we can work with something here. Like there's some movie poster with the them dressed up as characters in Yellowstone with the barn in the bank and the background with the Y. I mean, we need to bring in Rip Wheeler. You should have Cole Hauser, the actor Cole Hauser, do an appearance throughout the first pitch and make the Tigers the Yellowstone of Major League Baseball with Dylan and Colt and Spencer. Right? There's something there.
No, there's something there.
There's something there. I don't know quite what it is. There's something there. As far as the national response, early season MLB power rankings, Gator. The Tigers are 7th in the majors in CBS, 8th in USA Today. I haven't seen ESPN's come out, but they usually come out Monday or Tuesday every week. It's an encouraging start, and in the eyes of the nation, the national media, that tells me it's a credible start.
Well, I saw a headline mentioning something about the power rankings, and it said that the top six are all from the same league. So I'm assuming the top six are from the National League in one of these, which what does that say about the American League? Well, at this point to that writer, I guess it kind of dismisses the American League, but it's obviously way early in the season. I think the Tigers are a very good baseball team. Maybe not very good. I think they're a good baseball team.
Yeah.
We'll see if the pitching shows up to be very good. If Skubal and Flaherty continue doing what we expect them to do, that's a great start. If Jackson Jobe is having this rookie season, this is great. And Casey Mize doing what we said, that's great too. Then maybe it does become a very good baseball team based on their pitching. And their bullpen's done a nice job here as well. But ultimately, whether or not it feels like ultimately it's going to come down to how many guys are going to hit. When are they going to get Parker Meadows back? I guess they got good news on him over the weekend. We'll see. He's still not eligible to come off the injured list until May 24th. So it's a long time to go without him. And they could use a player like him. Tigers got off to a hot start hitting home runs, and now they have, I think, 18 home runs in 15 games. That's not a ton. They need to have some of that extra base punch. They lacked it yesterday. One game, right? They win the series. All you care about is winning the series. That's what they did. They beat the Yankees. They beat the Twins. They had won 7 of 8 going into yesterday's game. I like where they're at, and I think that they're going to stay on top of the American League Central.
Okay, so what you saw was the CBS Sports Power Rankings. Here's your top seven. Number one, the Padres. Number two, the Mets. Number three, the Cubs. Number four, the Giants. Number five, the Phillies. Number six, the Dodgers.
Can't believe the Dodgers were six, but yep. Okay.
Number seven, the Tigers. Best team in the American League.
Well, the highest ranked team. If anybody says the Yankees, they did face each other, and the Tigers won 2 out of 3.
Mm-hmm. Now, you want to be there at the end, not the beginning, but this is a great... Again, I say it's credible, and what I meant by that is it's one thing for us here to rave about it, and you know we're seeing this team, we're rooting for this team, we're all in, and that's what we are. But when people that aren't vested the way we are, and maybe a fan of a team, right? When they're saying no, your team's good, it's a good place to be.
It's a great place to be. They got three games starting tonight in Milwaukee. Milwaukee's a 500 baseball team. And then it's a 10-game homestand, four against Kansas City starting on Thursday. And then your Padres come into town next week. So there's another real test early in the season because San Diego's obviously very good to start the year.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Those might be data points we have to throw out because the Padres are so good right now. Look, the Padres are in the Dodgers division. I'm not delusional here.
Oh, the Padres have a ton of talent.
They do.
And then they've got Baltimore after that.
They race out of the gate a lot.
Oh, boy. Been there, done that, Doug?
Yeah, I have. All right, feedback coming in regarding Champ and Chump. We do it every Monday. Eddie at work says, Champ the Pistons. Chump Western Michigan hockey, fire up. Oh, I get it now.
Oh.
He chumped them because. Because
he's a Chippewa.
Yeah. Yeah,
fire,
you're picking
fire up chips.
You're picking a bad day to chump Western Michigan hockey, Eddie. It's not a strong case.
Do you understand rivalries, though, Doug? There's never a bad day rivalry. To chump them.
Okay.
If you're a Chip fan.
You can. You can. But
is there a bad day to chump Ohio State?
No.
But there's a day to be quiet.
Yeah, there's a day just
like
to...
Like when Ohio State won the national championship this year, if we did the...
I think Michigan fans still didn't care, by the way.
No, they may not. Yeah.
They may not, but they also probably shouldn't say anything.
Yeah. I let a couple weeks go by before I got back in taking shots, but... Champ Western Michigan not having one player with NIL money. Chump Riley Green's bat. Champ 127 North. Chump Milwaukee Bridge. It's closed. Is that currently?
I thought they were doing some work on this Milwaukee Bridge. Just to make you happier.
I drove over it yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, we went up and back. Quick trip up to assess the damage. And I, again, at some point we'll talk a little bit more about that ice storm.
You went over the bridge.
Yeah, I mean, I go over the bridge. I don't like it. But every time I'm on it, I'm like, this cannot be structurally sound. But apparently it's passed all inspections. It's Carson Anderson, 248-539-9797. Let's get to the Pistons a little bit. And straight ahead, however, 1220, two mock drafts over the weekend, both with the same player coming to Detroit. Is it a recent development? Is there somebody trending to the Lions at 28? We'll get to that today at 1220 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1. Hey, a great lawn is like a great sports team. It takes expertise and a little extra care to really stand out, and that's where True Green comes in. They are the local experts in Detroit and the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. So they know a thing or two about keeping grass looking like a fairway. Here's the best part about the whole thing. It's more affordable than you think, and they'll even match any competitor's price. Plus, True Green backs it all up with a satisfaction guarantee. You're not happy? They'll come back between visits to make it right. Don't wait. Head to truegreen.com today and let the pros do the work while you sit back and enjoy the results. If you're just joining us, lots of talk about Western Michigan winning the national championship right out of the gate. You can use the Odyssey app and go back and listen to that if you so choose, the rewind feature, where you can, everything's archived up to 24 hours. You can listen to this show and all the shows streaming through the Odyssey app. Download it for your mobile device today, AUDACY. Also talked a lot about Rory winning the Masters in a roller coaster ride on Sunday in a wild day. Where Justin Rose chipped away and chipped away, got hot late. I think it was six shots back after five holes. Made it up. Rory went back and forth, vacillating between brilliant and bad. He managed to win the Masters in what has been a very, very popular win. And Scott, we asked people, when did you root for an athlete where you just wanted the athlete to get theirs? Not a team necessarily, but you just wanted, you were really pulling for an athlete. 248-539-9797. Champ and Chump, we do it every Monday. Who should be singled out for having the best weekend? Who should be called out for having a weekend that stinks? Champ and Chump of the weekend, get them in. And Gator, we talk some Tigers. What a start to this season. They take two of three from Minnesota. Look pretty good doing it. Torkelson, Mize, Baez, all keeping up with various degrees. Maybe there's some settling going on with Casey Mize after, I mean, it wasn't a bad outing. I mean, it was just the two home run balls that really kind of sunk the performance. But, hey, it's going to happen. But Baez, productive at bats, and Torkelson, back-to-back games with home runs. Things we've been kicking around. And, as I mentioned, we got two mock drafts over the weekend with the same result at 28. And I haven't seen a lot of this. It's a player we've talked about quite a bit. But both CBS Sports and USA Today, and we'll get into the CBS Sports mock draft in a little bit more detail. At 28, the pick is in, and with the 28th pick in both of these mock drafts, the Detroit Lions select Tyler Booker, guard, Alabama. Scott, I don't know if this is insightful to a recent trend or it just so happens to be two guys project Booker to Detroit. How would you feel about this pick, and do you think this is insightful of anything at all?
Well, I mean, it really depends on who they pass up on. I mean, I think he sounds like a very good offensive lineman. Could be a stalwart for years to come. I like him as a player, but is he at that level a bigger need than somebody else? Like, are there edge rushers that they passed up on? Is there a defensive tackle they're passing up on? I mean, those are the other two positions I really like in this draft at 28. So I'd have to, it really would depend on what's after.
Well, in the case of the CBS mock draft,
okay,
here's your picks at 28, 29, 30, 31, and 32. So I mentioned Tyler Booker, guard from Alabama, goes to Detroit at 28. At 29, the Washington Commanders select Donovan Ezeraku, edge rusher, Boston College.
Yeah.
At 30, the Buffalo Bills take Nick Emenwari, safety, out of South Carolina. At 31, the Kansas City Chiefs select Derek Harmon, defensive tackle, Oregon. And at 32, the Philadelphia Eagles select James Pierce Jr. out of Tennessee. Wow. I mean, all five of those players could be Detroit Lions for a variety of different reasons.
Did Kenneth Grant go before, or was he also available?
Let me scroll up here. It looks like Kenneth Grant was available.
Wow. So this is what I'm talking about.
Please, somebody early in the second round, covet the Lions pick at 28 because you just have to have Jalen Milroe or somebody.
This is where you get to the point where how much do you trust Brad Holmes? Mm-hmm. In the evaluation, if this is what the pick is and that's who they're passing on, I do feel comfortable with what Brad Holmes does in the draft, particularly in the first round of the draft. And that would tell you a lot about what they think is going to happen in the future, about both the offensive and defensive line. Now, that second round pick is going to be awfully important too at 60.
Yep.
You know, what players are available at 60? Because do you want to get the best player you can get, or do you want to get the best two players that you could get? You know, does it mean you're compromising on one because you want to get, you really want to hit the position
in
the second round?
Yeah, I don't think Brad Holmes, and I'm not answering the question as Doug, I'm answering this, but I don't think he would compromise on anything.
I don't think he would either. You know, by that I'm saying, okay, if you look at, you need offensive and defensive line, mm-hmm. and they're both deep positions, but you know, maybe you're going to pass up on this great defensive lineman because you can find a really good defensive lineman in the second round, but you've got a really good offensive lineman, and maybe there's not really good offensive lineman available to you in the second round.
Dude, it's...
If you're going to pass up on a better defensive player, just be, that would be drafting for need or whatever, right? I mean, that's just... It's interesting.
It's
an interesting exercise to look at.
That CBS mock with all of those players available, given their problems last year, I think the shrewd Detroit Lions observer looks at a pick of Tyler Booker and say, this is the pick that does make sense. I also think that same observer can say, oh my God, how can they pass on that defensive talent? Because as much sense as Tyler Booker would make, if you have Ezeraco, Pierce, Harmon, and Emanwari, and Kenneth Grant all on the board at 28, and you go offense and then sit back and wait till 60 to address defense when they had a Super Bowl caliber offense by almost every measurement last year. I mean, their offense was a strong case for the best in the league.
Yeah.
And they make a pick of a guy that they might not even need this year. I think Detroit collectively would lose its mind. And I don't even think it's a bad pick. And maybe that's great theater for us. I don't really particularly root for that just to root for it. I just think the fallout from a Tyler Booker pick, if Kenneth Grant, yeah, Derek Harmon, Ezeraco, James Pierce, and Emanwari are all on the board, five pretty damn good defensive talents. Now, to be fair, I'm sure they don't evaluate those five and just say, they're all the same, they're all going to be good.
No, of course not.
They probably laugh at some of those that they don't believe in.
This is put yourself as a fly on the wall in the draft room and see what their board really shows. It'd be incredible. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you end up doing this, let's say it is Booker, and then in the second round you take Oladejo, the edge rusher from UCLA.
Well,
okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. Or would you rather go, say, Ezeraco, the defensive end, and then you take Tony Belton, the offensive lineman?
I think what Detroit would say is if you could take Oluwadejo Olofemi out of UCLA in the second round, you take Ezeraco in the first round and Olofemi in the second round. Like, you go defense. I think Detroit wants a huge influx of defensive talent. Would you not agree?
I think Detroit definitely, I think the fans definitely want to have defense. Maybe even defense.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Yeah. Is when you're talking about what the fans want. But I, you know, there's something to be said for just what they've done in the draft. They've got a lot of credibility. And so if Tyler Booker is the pick, and in these back-to-back mock drafts released over the weekend. Now, the other part of this is, do you think this is insightful? Do you think there's a trend? Do you think there's an intel out there that leads people to believe the Lions are actually after Tyler Booker and that's what they're hoping to get?
Well, this is strange because of the guys who are there, but this is a strange mock draft to begin with. If you look at some of the earlier picks, you're like, well, it seems like that might be a reach, or this is strange. And maybe that's just the case. But because it just, I just have a hard time believing that pool of players is available immediately after they were to take this guy. But do I think it's that the Booker is a name that resonates with the Lions? Yeah. And you know, even in this mock draft, it explains it's a Dan Campbell kind of guy, which is what we've talked about a while ago. For weeks we've been talking about how, you know, and you've said it before, you think this is the most Lion-y pick ever,
yeah,
because of the intangibles, if you will.
Ken, your thoughts on this?
Well, the intangibles you can't measure, right? But one thing you can measure is, you know, combine and athleticism scores. His RAS score is terrible. Like, he's one of the worst RAS scores of offensive linemen and guards. If that matters to you at all, that's what, you know, they've measured out as. So I don't know if that's something the Lions, we all think they like a high RAS score. They've drafted guys with high RAS scores. So I'd be hesitant on maybe Booker being the pick because of the RAS score, even though he's kind of rated the number one guard by most people. But I also know everyone's draft board is completely different. And if you look at the Lions' past drafts, they've had a different board than most quote-unquote experts have had out there. I think they like Jahmyr Gibbs more than Bijan Robinson. I think they like Terrion Arnold more than Quinyon Mitchell. This is pre-draft stuff. I think they like Hutch more than Trayvon Walker. I think they like Laporta more than Michael Mayer. Those are just some examples of where other guys are rated higher than the guy they took, and they say they like that guy, yeah, that they drafted more. So Booker's the number one rated guard on most people's board. I'm not so sure he's the number one rated guard on the Lions board.
You're probably right. 248-539-9797. Phone calls, feedback coming up. It's Carson Anderson. Gator, I'm going to apologize to a local company because I liked your product. And unfortunately, when I like products,
oh no,
They disappear. But I have found, I think, my new favorite summer beer.
Oh, no. Here we go.
We'll get to that at 12:38 here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Well, spring is here, and there's no better time to make a move than right now at Sarah Chevrolet Southfield. Now, the weather's warming up, and the days are getting longer, and it's the perfect time to take advantage of some incredible offers that are really hard to beat. Right now, you can lease a 2025 Equinox EV for only $159 a month. That's right, only $159 a month. Plus, if you're looking for something with maybe a little more power, you can drive off in a 2025 Silverado for just $298 a month. And here's the best part. Both offers are with just $999 down, and that includes the taxes and the fees. Yep, you heard that right. There's no hidden surprises. So whether you need a sleek new SUV or a powerful truck, Sarah Chevrolet Southfield has the perfect value waiting for you. But you'll need to act fast. These deals are not going to last long, so why wait? Head on over to Sarah Chevrolet Southfield today and take a test drive. You'll see for yourself why they're known for making car buying a stress-free experience. Spring into action today, and don't miss out on these fantastic deals. Sarah Chevrolet Southfield, together, let's drive.
You know the crazy thing about Rory's day winning the Masters is I think it was one of the most relatable elite performances of all time. And what I mean by that is something that is woven throughout the amateur hack golfer is the amazing inconsistency of what it's like to be a hack. You're mostly bad, but you hit that one shot. And people always say that one shot that brings you back.
Yeah.
We can all relate, I shouldn't say we all can, but many of us amateur golfers can relate to hitting that one shot. Rory hit that one shot about five times yesterday. And we're talking about, remember when he had to go over the trees at 7 and he was laughing? He's like, he went over he was behind a tree and he hits this brilliant shot up onto the green where he had to like snap it over the top of this tree. And then they show shots of him afterwards. He's just laughing like, how the hell did I do that? There was the shot on 15 where he shaped it around a tree, like an unbelievable shot around a tree, and then misses the eagle putt. There was the shot on 17, you know, where he's screaming, go, 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 rolls at the 3-4 feet. And I think he made that putt. There was the shot on 18 to get on the green to set himself up with a birdie attempt, but then he misses the birdie attempt. Like there was so much that was a relatable to the hack. It's because I think we all get lucky and you break off one shot in a round where you just want to focus on that one shot. And then most of the rest of your game fails. Rory had a more relatable day with brilliance mixed in with non-brilliance that we can all relate to.
Yeah. Bryson had a lot of those shots too. They were mostly off the tee. He had some great drives. But it's, you know, drive for show, putt for dough, and he couldn't putt, or his approach shots would always go way long. And he's left going, why is that long? Why is that long? Because you're all jacked up on adrenaline right now, you know? But hey, there's always next year.
Well, that's pretty crazy. That round of golf was an unbelievable roller coaster. But it led us to that topic of did you ever just simply root for an athlete to come through to get their just due? 248-539-9797. Phone calls and feedback. Champ and Chump. Brian in Northville says, Champ and Chump. The champ, the Western Michigan hockey team. Go Broncos. Chump, Steve Yzerman.
Okay, got you down to another Yzerman vote and another Bronco vote.
Champ Rory. Chump Costa for pretending like his directional school rivalry means something.
Oh, come on.
It does to those at the school.
I mean... Really?
Champ, Western Michigan hockey, first NCAA championship in school history. Chump, the Red Wings goaltending. That's from Tom and Novi.
Well, I think that it's been better lately.
Well, there's plenty of blame to go around for what's happened with Red Wings, unfortunately.
I don't know if that'd be the first place I go to blame, but okay.
Yep.
Talbot's been pretty good.
248-539-9797. Okay. So, Scott, over the weekend, I mentioned we went up north, and we'll talk about the damages that were done up there. It's pretty amazing. If you own a place up north, I hope that your area goes unscathed. But some areas look like literally a war zone, and we'll talk about it probably as the week goes on. But Saturday night, Western's playing. Wife and I watched the first period at our place and then said, all right, let's go get dinner. And we were going to go to a place we could watch the game. We ended up at Pearson's in Harbor Springs. Good place to watch games, two spots at the bar. It was kind of perfect. And they had specials. And let me make sure I got this. Yeah. Okay. I got the website right. And one of them had, one of the specials was a beer from a local company. And I said, I'll try it. And I'm not very adventurous when it comes to beer. And I'm not into, like, I love the concept of the brew pub, but I struggle at them because I'm just a mass produced, I'll have a Miller Lite, thank you, kind of drinker. When I get crazy, I'll have a summer shandy, right?
Yeah, you're not looking for the 8%.
No.
Double hopped IPA or whatever.
No. So I'm very specific. My friends have called me a sorority beer drinker, and I'm like, okay, whatever. I like what I like. You like what you like. And there are differences between long haul beers, as you put it, and then, you know, those that like the double hopped or whatever. Old Nation Brewery has, as far as I know, a new beer.
God, Doug, they're doing really well. They're like a sponsor of the station. I mean, what do you really want to say this?
The problem is, there's so many products that I like that have disappeared. And when it comes to beer, I feel like I've single-handedly sunk Busch Light Apple, although that's coming back.
Thank God.
My friend in the industry told me it'll be back next month. I really like the Otra Vez from Sierra Nevada. That went away.
Can I guess what this is?
Sure.
Is it the Blood Orange?
It is not.
Okay.
No, is that they've got? I'm looking for the Tangerine B43. Is that what you're talking about?
No, maybe I was thinking another. There was a blood. A friend of mine had a
Petoskey Brewery. I think has a Blood Orange.
I had a beer in my house, and I thought it was an Old Nation, but it apparently was not. But it was a Blood Orange.
I don't know if I'm going to say this right, but Old Nation has a beer. I think it's new.
Oh boy,
it's called Tranquilas. It is a Mexican-style lager, and here is how it's described. Tranquilas is a laid-back sip of sunshine, crisp, golden Mexican-style lager infused with premium, natural lime flavor to give it the right zing of citrus. It's made for slowing down and savoring life's simple pleasures. Whether it's at the beach or the patio, it's a perfect way to relax, unwind, and enjoy the moment. Salud.
Sounds great.
Yep.
It sounds like something I'd really enjoy.
I really enjoyed it.
And unfortunately, Doug really enjoyed it, too. You just have a track record. That's all I'm saying.
No, I would, but if you like a lighter summer beer, this is a summer.
Right. We love summer shandy.
Yep.
You know, and that's, fortunately, that doesn't sound like that's going out of style anytime soon. So this is a lime version of that kind of, although yes. This isn't a shandy. This is just a hint of lime, or is it hit you like a summer shandy? That's lemonade.
I noticed the lime and there's too much and there's not enough. This for me was just, it was right on. It was spot on. And by the third one, I was really liking it.
I'm really looking forward to trying it.
Yeah.
And I'm also very scared.
Scared
that I'll like it a lot. And then
it'll disappear.
Yeah. And then because you put the hex on it.
Yeah, I did put the hex on it. It's got a cool label, cool can.
John Kies.
Yeah. With a cactus on it.
Yeah. It's a nice saguaro.
Yeah. So I highly recommend it if you like summer beer. Worked for me. Here's the other thing about what I like, though. Unfortunately, not enough people do like it. So if I endorse it, it's going to be one of those things that you're brave if I endorse something, you go, I'm going to try that.
Well,
but I'm telling you, it's good.
You know, I want to try it. I want to try it. Because like you, I like the lighter type beers. I don't like the short haul beers, the high alcohol content beers, and call me whatever you want. But everybody drink what they like to drink. What I like to drink is something that is when I'm hot, I want something ice cold. I drink it and I'm like, oh, that is good, and it makes me want to have another. But maybe not necessarily go for 6, 8, 10, 12 beers. I don't really do that anymore. But I do like to have one to two to three.
Well, good luck to Old Nation and Tranquilas. It's my new favorite beer. 248-539-9797. All right, let's get to the Pistons, man. Saturday night, game one against the Knicks. We'll talk about this playoff series next. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, during the NBA play-in tournament, FanDuel is giving all new customers a shot at $250 in bonus bets. Join FanDuel today. You'll get started with $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. From three-pointers, steals to assists, FanDuel has so many ways for you to bet your favorite player props. But you can also move the line a little bit. You won't get as much of a return if you move it in your favor. But if you're a new customer and you bet the $5, you could get the $250 in bonus bets, which is what you're after, right? So after a game tips off, you can combine your live prop bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to win even bigger. Visit FanDuel.com/Doug to get in on all the NBA play-in tournament action. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit is required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. We have to wait until Saturday. Have to wait until Saturday before we get to see game one of the Eastern Conference playoff matchup between the Detroit Pistons and the New York Knicks. They got this play-in tournament thing, which used to be the goal. It used to be the goal to be in this playoff tournament, the play-in tournament, where the 7 seed plays the 8 seed. The winner advances to become the 7 seed. The loser plays the winner of the 9-10 game. The loser of the 9-10 is out. The winner of the 9-10 plays the loser of the 7-8. It's not convoluted at all. And you get an 8-team field, the last two spots going to the two teams that win the playing games. Scott Anderson, it feels like it's going to be a long wait. I'm ready to go, but what we have to remember is that everybody else has been bitching about the length and the time in between NBA playoff games for years. We just haven't cared because it didn't impact us. We're like rookies. We're like young again. This whole postseason thing and a legit postseason team.
Hey, I'm okay with it.
With what?
With waiting. I'm really okay with it because I think if they're this point in the season, as you're in between here, you just want to be as healthy as possible. And I know that some guys are dealing with some things that are kind of lingering, whether it's a calf here or Charlie horse or a bad ankle or whatever, that all that's going to, you got some time here to let that heal up, that maybe you didn't really afford yourself the chance towards the end of the season. But now, you know, once they lost that the first game in Milwaukee, they knew what their fate was going to be. And obviously they gave a lot of guys some rest yesterday in the finale. But also, I mean, it hasn't been completely ruled out with Jaden Ivey.
Yeah.
That he might come back to this team. I'd be amazed if he did. But okay. Just wait a little longer. Sure. Gives him more time to get acclimated, more time for him to get his conditioning underneath him. And, you know, can he play any kind of role whatsoever? Maybe not in the first round, but if they get past the Knicks, maybe he can see the second round. We'll see. But I'm okay with building up the anticipation. And the fact that the season starts on the postseason for them starts on a Saturday, that's kind of cool. The Red Wings will be done. They play tonight at home, the last home game, and then they have a couple of road games to finish off in New Jersey and Toronto, and then their season's over with before the Pistons take the floor. So it's a good time to shine for the Pistons, and I'm excited about the playoff atmosphere at LCA. I'm excited about the playoff atmosphere in downtown Detroit to see how we fully embrace it. Even with, you know, we know we've seen this in the past when they were playing at the Palace, they had the Palace Vision and people would go there. We had Joe Vision where people wanted to go to the Joe and watch the away playoff games. But will they do anything like that? for the away games in the first round? Maybe not, but maybe there'll be something going on. I mean, certainly you'd want to be downtown for this atmosphere, though. I think this is a real exciting time.
So have you seen the point spread on game one?
No.
Kang, have you seen the point spread on game one?
I have not.
Okay. What do you think it would be set at?
Well, they're on the road. Pistons won the season series 3-1. I would imagine it's still, I mean, New York is the higher seed for a reason. I don't know, Knicks minus 3.5.
Okay, Kang, what about you? What do you think?
I agree. Knicks will be favorites as they should. They're at home, better team, on paper at least. I would say Knicks minus 4.5.
Pistons did win both games at MSG.
The Pistons are getting 7.5 points.
What?
7.5.
Oh, boy.
Does that not feel like a... I'm pretty surprised they're getting that many.
Well, I might tell you also the odds makers don't take too much into the season series.
Well...
You know,
and that's
that last game, people were sitting on the Knicks as well.
Yeah, but this goes back to that we're new at this, and I mean, they're not really new at this, but it's been so stinking long that it's hard to really quantify the importance of regular season results and how it translates into the postseason. In the regular season, there are some things that make you love this matchup. First of all, the Pistons won the series. I mean, duh. That doesn't take a brilliant sports mind to make that observation. Cade Cunningham, do you see his stats against the Knicks this year?
I think he scored 36 in each of the last two games he played, but I haven't seen the full season stats.
Against the Knicks, he averaged 30.8 points, 8.3 assists. He shot 56% from the floor, 52 from three.
Is that good?
Cade was dominant against the Knicks. Now, I suspect the OG Anunoby will be the guy that guards him, and he didn't play in the last game. He did play in the other games, though, and he still did well. But, I mean, 7.5 on ESPN.com and 7 on FanDuel, that's a big number for a team that won the season series. I don't know.
Well, we did a little bit of a deep dive last week, and I thought you pointed out something very astute, that once the Pistons started playing pretty good basketball middle of December, that their record and the Knicks record were almost identical.
Yeah, I think the Pistons were 33-19 and the Knicks were 33-20 since that turnaround in the middle of December. I mean, that's a long stretch of games where they were playing the same level of basketball. And there's good wins and bad losses mixed in there, but that's a pretty good chunk of games. I'm fired up for this. I love that if this is really the way it's going to be. I mean, I was expecting this series to maybe be considered to be one of the closer series in the first round, but of the first round point spreads, I'm just on FanDuel right now. There's no higher underdog. Nobody is getting more points than 7. Somebody else is. Memphis is getting 7 against Golden State.
Hey, no respect. I mean, chip on the shoulder again. You gotta keep leaning into it.
Kinda, if you want. They're the biggest underdog. Now, given those play-in games haven't been sorted out, so we don't know who the 7 and the 8 seeds are, and they'll be bigger underdogs. So it's only 6 series that have gotten this treatment. 3 series in the East, 3 series in the West, but I guess as a 6 seed, we should expect it. Kind of wild, though.
Yeah, beginning of the year, though, the Knicks had aspirations, like real aspirations, to try to make the NBA Finals. You know, they went and got Cat, big Mikal Bridges, move. Obviously, Brunson's a real star in this league. Perennial all-star type player. It's going to be tough for the Pistons. The Pistons are also, I think, betting-wise, they were the worst team, one of the history's worst teams in the league last year, right? So this is a quick rise. You could ask anyone on the team, the front office, they didn't expect this. And so, but they're a tough out because of the style they play. I think whether they win or lose, or if they lose this series, I don't think they're going to be a pushover. At least I really, really hope not. And Gator, you talk all the time about them playing playoff basketball throughout the season. Hopefully, you know, they let them play. The refs let them play in the playoffs. Because if they start tightening up on the whistle, then the Pistons can't play their brand of basketball, and it's going to be rough for them.
Well, that's the other thing. Is it's playing their brand of basketball, not only defensively, but offensively, too. And, look, I know yesterday's game didn't mean anything, right? They weren't playing their starters. I mean, yeah, Jalen Duren played 8 minutes in the game yesterday, and a lot of those they're players that are starter-caliber-type players didn't play big minutes. And the game shouldn't be that much of insight into what's going on. But they took 59 three-point shots yesterday. 59.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about late last week that they took an awful lot of three-point shots in one of their last games of the season as well. That's not Pistons basketball. I don't want them to turn into this team that thinks that they can just knock down a three at any time, so why not take more of them? I want this team to go at it with the attitude of what they had all season long. We're playing our own brand of basketball. It's not what you guys do. It's what we do. We feed the ball inside. We can kick it around, but we're not going to only settle for 23-foot shots. Maybe there's an 18-foot shot. We're going to knock that down. It's 2 points. Higher percentage, we'll knock it down. I want them to play that kind of basketball. Fast break style, great defense, in your face, aggressive, prickly, all that.
248-539-9797. Piston fans, how you feeling about being this big an underdog? Is this total disrespect for our basketball team? Are you worked up about it? There's six series that are set, three in the East, three in the West. Nobody is getting more points than the Pistons in game one. Wow. I did not expect that. Carson Anderson, 97-1, the ticket.